Okay, the scripture this morning is out of Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. And I'm reading from the New International Version. The fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
I invite you to pray with me.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now that Easter is in the rearview mirror, we can start thinking about Christmas. Christmas is a couple months away. But I was thinking about Christmas this week, and I'll tell you why. One of the great things about Christmas is the traditions that we observe as a family, as a community. I mean, most of our families have certain things that they do, and if they did not do those things, it wouldn't be Christmas. You probably have a family tradition that fits that bill. And I was thinking this week about a good friend of mine, and they've had this family tradition for 20 plus years. And it was started by my friend's wife back in the early 1990s. What she did was she bought a present, wrapped it, and put it under the tree. And every Christmas, it's the last gift to be opened. She'll say to somebody, get the last gift from underneath the tree. And they'll get it, and they'll put it on a table. And the family will take turns, you know, unwrapping it. And they already know what's going to be in there. It's about 1,000 or a 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And the tradition is, what they do is they dump this onto a table in some corner of their house, and for the days in between Christmas and New Year's, they, whenever they get a chance, will sit down and put a few pieces of the cross or the jigsaw puzzle together. And some will sit down there for hours and work on it. And the goal is to get it all finished, this 1,000 or 2,000 piece puzzle, by New Year's Day. It sounds like a nice, heartwarming tradition, but I've left one important part out of this. And that is, when they open the gift, the wife has removed the box top with the picture of the puzzle on it, and she's put a generic box top on. So they don't know what this thing is supposed to look like before they begin putting it together. And so you can just imagine how frustrating it would be, even if you liked jigsaw puzzles, to do that, you know? I know what you're thinking when you hear this. You're thinking, I'm glad I wasn't born into that family. But about 10 years ago, she threw a monkey wrench into all this. They went through the same thing. They got the gift. They unwrapped it. And when they unwrapped it, they realized this year it was different because the box top was on. So everybody went. One of the kids said, oh, mom's going soft, you know. And so they dumped the jigsaw puzzle out, and they started putting it together. And somewhere in the second or third day, the family came to the mother and said, you know, we're having a problem here. Because as we put the pieces together, it's becoming obvious to us that the picture, this puzzle, is not going to look like the picture on the front of the box. And that's when she laughed and confessed to them that this year she had bought two jigsaw puzzles and she had switched the tops of the boxes on the jigsaw puzzles. So regardless of how hard they worked on that puzzle, it wasn't going to look like the picture on the box. Now, the reason I tell you that story is it's the first thing that popped into my mind when I read Acts chapter 2. Does the picture on the box look like the puzzle? You see, this is a fascinating story, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. I don't know how many of you remember back in the 70s, there was a Christian rock group called the Second Chapter of Acts. And they were named after this exact passage, verses 42 to 47, because amazing things are happening in the church. There's no church before this. We heard last week, Luke tells us there's 120 Christians total in the world. But after Peter preaches on Pentecost, there's 3,000 people. And so they're learning how to live together, how to do church. What does it mean to be church? And I want to read it in the Message, because just comes alive, and you can almost feel the energy when you hear the words. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. All the believers lived in a wonderful harmony. That sounds like church, doesn't it? All the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they had and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. Wow. I'd go to that church, wouldn't you? That's church. But I got to thinking, what if we were not Christians? And what if one day, a good friend witnessed to us, and the Holy Spirit moved in us, and we gave our life to Christ. Now, we had been to church a couple of times, different situations, but we didn't really know too much about what it meant to be a Christian. So our friend had given us this Bible, and he said, you should start at Matthew and work through the four Gospels, and then just read the rest of the New Testament. I'll check back with you. And after about 2 months, we get through the Gospels, and then we start in the book of Acts. And not too long into the book of Acts, we come to this. And we would close the Bible and say, you know, wow, I didn't realize that there's more to this Christian stuff. It's not just me personally accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's being part of a community of caring and love. And wow, if this is the way the church is, I'm going to church Sunday. What would happen when we went to church that Sunday? What do you think? Those of us who've been in church long enough probably come to the conclusion that the jigsaw puzzle doesn't look like the picture on the box. The church doesn't necessarily look like that today. I suggested in Sunday school probably 15 years ago that at this time of year, look, we all have lawnmowers, but it's a duplication of resources. I can use Bob's lawnmower, Kim's lawnmower, or Judy's lawnmower. I'm just going to pass around a piece of paper. We'll sell our old lawnmowers, and we'll have one or two, and we'll just share them this summer. How many people do you think signed up on my sheet? I don't think you were in the class, Jeannie, but I think mine was the only name on the sheet. Well, that's a nice idea, Pastor Tim, but then I got to drive over to Monica's house and get her lawnmower and then go back. And you know, when you figure it all out, we're probably just wasting resources. We'll all just keep our lawnmowers. This is an amazing piece of work. And Luke, to emphasize what the church looked like back then, says the exact same thing in chapter 4. If you go to the end of chapter 4 in the book of Acts, you'll see almost verbatim the same story. They had everything in common. They cared for one another. Nobody had need. There was great joy and rejoicing. But sometimes when we come into church today, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about church everywhere. Sometimes we come in, and while it feels like something is happening here, well, we used to say when my parents would ask us after church, they would debrief with us about our church experience on the ride home. What happened in Sunday school? What happened in church? And we'd say as little kids, nothing. It reminded me, I have a book by Hans Finzel. He's a Christian leader from Germany. It's a great book title. I bought it for the title. It said, Top 10 Mistakes Christian Leaders Make. And I wanted to buy it so I could mark them off as I made them, you know, all of these mistakes. But one of the stories he tells in this book is that he jogs around his neighborhood in Wheaton, Illinois. And one day he decided to veer off from the established route he'd been taking, and he went in a different part of the neighborhood that he hadn't really investigated before. And as he was jogging past these beautiful homes, the well-manicured lawns, he looked in the middle of one of these lawns, and there was a huge marble square, almost looked like a tombstone, with a brass marker in the middle of it. He couldn't see what it said from out on the road, so he kind of looked around, and he walked onto the lawn and looked. And when he got close enough to read, it said, "On this spot, November 21st, 1987, nothing happened." And then he's looking around going, "Are they watching me out the picture window, you know?" He felt stupid, and he just got back onto the road and jogged away. Nobody puts up a monument for nothing that happens. But evidently, this family had a great sense of humor. Nothing happened, but something's happening here on the top of the jigsaw puzzle box. The church is so engaging, so inviting, that thousands of people are coming. It was a palpable place of love. You'd go to a place like that, wouldn't you? You know, my comic collection in the bottom left-hand drawer of my desk contains a Peanuts comic strip with Schroeder and Lucy. Schroeder is sitting behind his piano, plunking away as usual. Lucy is leaning on his piano, lovingly adoring him as usual. And she says to a Schroeder, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold my breath until you say you love me. And I'll hold my breath till I pass out." And then the next frame, Schroeder says, "Breath holding in children is an interesting phenomenon. Some say it's a metabolic disorder. You should try 40 milligrams of vitamin B6. I think that would improve. Actually, what you should do is eat bananas, avocados, and beef liver. Yes, try some beef liver." And in the last frame, Lucy says, "I ask for love, I get beef liver." And I believe that there are a lot of people coming to church looking for the top of that jigsaw puzzle box. And they might not get beef liver, but they're wondering, why doesn't this look like this? And my answer to them is this. Sometimes you do get the jigsaw puzzle box. There are moments when the church shines, when it's there when we need it. Moments when the church loves and reaches out, not just among its own and for its own, but to the world as a visible sign of the kingdom. But the other thing I say is that's not the complete picture on the top of the jigsaw puzzle box. The book of Acts in the 28 chapters gives us an amazing picture of the church, and it includes the good and the bad. Let me give you just a couple of examples. Read Acts chapter 5. Great story in there, and I bet a lot of you have never heard the story before. Church is young, and they're taking up offerings every week. Started way back then. But there are two people in the church named Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, and they decide that out of the goodness of their heart, they're going to sell a field that they own and give the money to the church. Now, the board of trustees would say, "Hallelujah, great." They do. But they also, in talking with each other, say, "Well, but we don't want to give the whole thing. We'll keep a little bit back because everybody needs some mad money." So Ananias comes in. Peter is sitting in the church, and Ananias says, "Hey, we sold a piece of land, and we're giving the whole thing to the church." And Peter said, "The whole thing?" And he said, "Yeah, the whole thing." And in the midst of that lie, he falls down dead. And Peter comes for a couple of trustees to drag him out. About 10 minutes later, Sapphira comes in. Don't know where she was, but she says, "Hey, guess what? We sold a piece of land and we're giving it all to the church." And he said, "All of it?" "Yeah, all of it." And she falls down dead. And they get the trustees to pull him out of church. There's a heartwarming story, don't you think? And, you know, actually, we probably should have told that story before we passed the offering plates this morning, because we might have gotten a little bit different response. Wow, that's the church. The other one is my absolute favorite story in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 20. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but read it if you get a chance. The guy's name is Eutychus. He's a patron saint of all those people who fall asleep in church. I've heard this happens in other churches. Eutychus is sitting on a windowsill. Luke tells us that they had all eaten dinner together, and they went upstairs to the upper room, because now they're going to worship. And Paul's going to have a little sermon. And he describes the scene, too. He says, there were many lights in the room. This is Paul's way of saying, imagine yourself after dinner, your belly is full, you're feeling good. You go upstairs, the room's a little stuffy, the lights are low, the candles are flickering, and you're watching them, and all of a sudden, Eutychus starts to, his eyelids are drooping, and he's sitting in a window, and the window is open, and you know how when you used to be in class or something, and you'd fall asleep when you jerk, and one time he jerked, and he fell out the window and fell down dead. I love that story. Every time I see somebody sleeping in church, I think, Eutychus, Eutychus. Now, the best part of the story is they all run downstairs, and Eutychus is dead. And Paul says, I'll take care of this. And he raises him to life. And then the Bible says, and then they all went back upstairs, and Paul preached until the morning. And Eutychus is probably saying, I was dead, and you brought me back? Or anyway, it's a fascinating story. And the last one is in Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas come back from their first missionary journey, and they're sharing this word. Now, the one thing the church in Jerusalem has said is, we want to share the gospel, but we want to make sure we don't share it among the Gentiles, because you got to be, you know, you got to become a Jew first, then a Christian. Paul and Barnabas come home. They start telling some stories, and people say, whoa, 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 whoa. It sounds to me like you've been talking to the meat eaters, those ones who eat ham. We don't eat ham here in the church. Paul and Barnabas speak up. And they say, well, the fact of the matter is, when we told the gospel to these ham eaters, as you call them, we call them Gentiles, when we told the gospel to them, they responded. They accepted Christ. And what are we to do? Well, there's a lot of grumbling. And then Paul and Barnabas speak up and say, well, to tell you the truth, we've shared more than one plate of ham with them too. Oh, and people are up in arms. So read Acts 15. They have this big congregational meeting. Now, our congregational meeting is going to be a lot better than this one after church here today. But Luke says there was no small discussion, which means it went on for hours. And at the end, they finally said, okay, the meat eaters can join, but they had a whole list of codicil, a whole list of reasons that if they join, they have to do this, they have to do this. That's the church. So yes, this vision in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4 looks great, and it's something for every church to aspire to. But Luke, when he paints the picture, shows us the church, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's a group of human beings coming together, filled with the Holy Spirit, still sinful, forgiven, and grace-filled. But that's the picture. That's who we are. Now, I usually speak of books or authors that you should read, and here's another one. I don't know if I've mentioned her name before. Her name is Nadia Bolz-Weber. She's a Lutheran pastor, and she pastors a church in Denver, Colorado. The name of the church is the House for All Sinners and Saints. And if you've ever, how many of you have heard of Nadia Bolz-Weber? Okay, you've got to look her up on Amazon when you go. She's what you might call an unorthodox Lutheran pastor. She got tattoos from like here all the way down. And I think she has a number of piercings too. And her church is filled with all kinds of unorthodox people, you know. Drug addicts, homeless folks, people who've been in and out of prison, and then folks like me and you, good people, you know. All there in that church together. And now, because she's so well known, there are a lot of people who, when they're in the Denver area, want to go to the church. And so she's had to say, when you come to church, please be respectful. It's not a spectator thing. This is how we worship. But Nadia Bolz-Weber says in her last book, Accidental Saints, and I want to read this paragraph to you. She says, It's my practice to welcome new people to the church by making sure they know that the house for all sinners and saints will at some point let them down. And then I will say, at some point I will say or do something stupid and disappoint you. And she says, then I encourage them to decide before that happens if they will stick around after it happens. Because it will. And she says, if they leave, I tell them, they will miss the way God's grace comes in and fills the cracks left behind by our brokenness. If you leave, you'll miss the way God's grace comes in and fills in the cracks left behind by our openness. And she says, and if you miss that, you'll miss a beautiful thing. To that I can just say, amen. And let the people of God say, amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we would like the picture of this church to match Acts 2 and 4. But we are grateful to know that when we fall short, when we fail, that grace comes in and fills in the cracks from our all too evident brokenness. We aspire to Acts 2, but we live in your grace. In thankfulness, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.